Power Project family, how's it going? I want to talk to you guys about the best gym fits in the game. You need to head over to Vuori. People don't know how to say it. People don't know how to spell it. V-U-O-R-I. But let me tell you something about Vuori. They have great clothes that you can wear outside the gym, weddings, lunches, dates. And then they have great pieces of equipment you can wear in the gym that make you look good while you're lifting. Because I know there's still a lot of y'all who are still rocking and one shorts. And although I have nothing against and one.
Gets me every time.
I have nothing against and one shorts.
Yeah.
Honestly, it looks horrible. So Andrew, please tell the people how to step up their damn clothing game.
For real, you guys got to step up. Head over to Vuori.com/Power Project. That's Vuori.com/Power Project to receive 20% off your order. No code needed. You guys will see a discount will be applied at checkout banner across the top. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
This thing does need some balls, right? You like know, hanging off the back of the truck.
Yeah, just hangs. No. Dude, that'd be great if on our guest microphone we just have some balls.
It's not gonna help my cut. Like, people are gonna be like, you want this to get as close to my mouth? Like, no, it's for the audio, I promise. And I'm like, yeah, you imagine, right, you fucking
could
perv.
You imagine in SEMA, like in a truck with the balls on it, he takes off like blah, 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 blah. We'd be like, man, something's changed with him.
Man,
I don't know what it is.
It's always the same person riding those trucks too. Oh, yeah. Like, it's always like, it's the white dude with the hat,
super tall.
Yes.
and the balls are dragging right on the ground.
Yeah, probably has a huge hog knot.
Mm-hmm. We're mixing up some coffee over here.
Those guys are great.
Yes.
You know, I got a nitro cold brew the other day, and it had like something weird at the bottom of the can. Like, sort of like weird,
like a worm.
No,
it wasn't like thickness, was it?
No. It was like a little metal thing, and I was like, maybe that's for the nitro aspect.
Oh, okay.
Like to keep it like that. Oh,
hey, now,
this is that caveman nitro coffee. I gotta have them send us more of this because
pretty much out now, huh?
Oh, that sounds great.
Right?
That's some great ASMR.
Hopefully people aren't stuck in traffic having to go pee.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
That sucks.
Oh, by the way, before we begin this podcast, I want to say we've been getting a lot of reviews on the iTunes side of
Hell
things.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for leaving those amazing reviews. But I will also say, for those of you who haven't, because there's a lot of new people here, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, leave us a review. Let us know how you're liking the show, what you're learning, and just... Help us out there, because we try to bring you the heat. So, yes, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys.
I got some really bad news to report.
Oh.
Not a great way to start the show.
That's actually not a great way to start the show, Mark.
But Graham Tuttle's not around anymore. So I'm sorry to disappoint.
Why is everyone trying to hold back?
Andrew. Hey, listen, I know you guys are heartbroken.
Why are you laughing when you're saying it?
I'm not even, I don't know. I'm not laughing, am I?
He'll be back in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back.
He'll be back.
He will?
Yeah.
No, I think so. He's going to keep coming back.
I just wonder how he, you know, he, I just wonder how he fucks, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just thinking about how he has sex.
Oh, God. It's like a feral cat, though. We fed him.
Oh,
he's coming back.
If y'all don't know the reference, we keep mentioning this, but our homie Graham was doing a jiu-jitsu session with my boy, Julian from jiu-jitsu. And Julian, I know you're not listening, so it's okay. But I think he saw Julian rolling one day, and Julian's this black belt who moves really well. And Graham's just like, I wonder how he fucks. Like, I wonder how he fucks.
So odd.
It's so weird.
That's great.
Have you ever just looked at a man and been like, I wonder how he fucks? I wonder how he fucks his wife.
I have never. Well, outside of like Half Thor, like,
oh,
you know
that
what
actually,
mean?
I yeah, really, yeah. That you, it's just, you have
but
to
like,
wonder.
Yeah, no, I. No, no,
some, I mean, sometimes, like, yeah, if there's like a big dude and like a really small girl, you're like,
I mean,
yeah.
It's like a sleeve.
Every once in a while, you think about it.
You know,
but I don't think about it while a guy's like get on my back, like all ready to choke me out.
You know what?
Okay. That's different.
This is one thing that just popped in my mind, and it's never. When we're on this topic, you're moving better now. Like you're getting more mobile, you're getting more flexible. I would assume
that your bedroom,
I would assume that your bedroom life is a little bit more interesting now since you have more like hip mobility and shit, right?
Mm-hmm. It might be.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. There's like benefits to moving
back. No, I do notice just in all movement in general that like certain things don't hurt. So certain positions I can get into easier and they work better and improvements all around. But like losing a lot of weight helped with all that too.
Yeah.
Being a fat motherfucker made it made it hard, or made it more difficult, I should say.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Yeah.
We miss you, Graham. He won't listen to the show, right?
No,
no, for a fact, he's listening. He's watching right now.
Oh God.
He's probably in the comment section.
Hey, but Graham has changed, he's changed the way we look at feet. He's changed the way, we think about certain things. Mm-hmm. So this guy, he's a smart dude. He's a smart dude. Y'all should check him out at the Barefoot Sprinter.
We had Ray Cash on the podcast the other day, and that was pretty awesome. And I had an opportunity to go and speak to some of the men at this Uncaged project that they have going on. It was pretty awesome. I was like not a guest speaker, and then they just like inserted me to like talk. So I had an opportunity to talk, and I went like about 10 minutes over the amount of time that I was supposed to talk. But it was fun and it was interesting. I haven't had an opportunity to really talk in front of people in that same way, like where I'm like on a stage necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Have you done that before?
No, I've never done anything like that before. It's been mostly like just speaking at like seminars and things like that. So that was kind of the first time doing that amongst other speakers and stuff too. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting, but got a chance to listen to Matt Boudreaux. I think that's how we say his last name.
Boudreaux.
And had an opportunity to listen to a couple other people speak, and it was really cool. But Matt is really good.
Yeah.
He is really, really good speaker. And it's obvious that he has a lot of practice with it. He's real animated and real fired up and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to share something with you guys that he said, because I think it's important. And he said he often gets asked about his own children, because he runs the school Acton Academy, which is in Roseville. And they're starting another one in Sacramento, I think, next year. And he's doing a great job with that. Big supporter of it. My son went to school there. And I think it's going to be something that when my son looks back, it'll be something that helped shape and change his life. In a lot of positive ways. So huge fan of what Matt is doing. But Matt was asked how his own children, sometimes he's asked how they are so well behaved. And they said how do you discipline them? And he says, I don't discipline them. I teach them about discipline. So he gives them options to be disciplined. And because they have discipline, he does not have to be like a disciplinarian. And then sometimes, like especially when they were younger, he could say, something to the effect of like, hey, like, and out of all the stuff we talk about, like, was that the right decision? Was that the right decision to steal that piece of fruit from your cousin or whatever, or to take that toy from that other kid mm-hmm. And then the kid can kind of like try to remember like what they talked about. And if they don't remember, then they can kind of discuss it further. But he has all these like rules, his like family rules that they live by. And I just thought it was really interesting. And I think teaching children about the benefits of discipline and what they can do for you, rather than always dealing with short-term gratification of everything, like, oh, I'm going to have, I'm going to have ice cream, or I'm going to eat pizza, or I'm going to make this decision right now to be mean or rude to this person in this moment because it benefits me, or no, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to keep to myself on this and not interrupt what they're doing. And then you get the long-term, you get the long-term benefits of being disciplined. So I just thought it was really fascinating and something that I wanted to share.
On that note, real quick, I know we're going to talk about something else, but on the discipline aspect of things, I just think about, I slip with this all the time, but discipline is something that's like, it's easy to understand, but I think I wonder nowadays as a parent, I'm not a parent, but if it's something that's harder to impart because there are so many easy ways to get quick gratification now, mm-hmm. That you don't even think about. You open up your phone, you open up YouTube, you watch a video you like immediately, you open up Netflix, you get food immediately, or you get everything you want immediately. So like it's as an individual, you have to go out of your way to seek some discipline. Like, no, I'm not going to open up Instagram right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm not going to do this right now. I'm just going to sit here for a little bit. You have to train that on your own, right? But then you have to, like, I wonder for you guys, you then have to teach your kid about discipline. And I think it might be easier for a parent teaching a child since the kid doesn't get everything they want as an adult can. But it's just, it's a very interesting thing because it's like, yeah, it's necessary, but we're in a time where, like, everything's at your fingertips. Yeah. Everything you want, man.
And really, really, truly great things that are like more like honorable, things that are really looked at as being awesome amongst society.
Yeah.
Are things that take a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, my wife's ability to swim is something that took her decades to figure out. Then she got school paid for, and it shaped a lot of her life because she has discipline that surrounds that. Mm-hmm. There'll never be anything harder that she'll ever do or go through than 2-day practices while being a student athlete at the University of Kansas. Like, it just won't, nothing will ever match that amount of pressure. Now, she could have harder times because of like stress or, you know, unfortunate family tragedies and things like that, right? Like, you could go through all kinds of different things, or you battle your own thing. Like, those things happen, right? Mm-hmm. And then same thing with myself, you know, the things that I did in powerlifting, lifting some of those big weights, those weren't a byproduct of me being great or extraordinary necessarily. If there was anything extraordinary about it, it was just a consistency over a long period of time to do something that I really enjoyed and to stick with it, whether I got hurt or tore something or whatever. I just stuck with it for a really long time. And so hopefully my kids can kind of see those things and say, well, those things took a long time, but that actually seems like a really interesting road to go down. And it doesn't mean you have to sacrifice everything. I think that's kind of what some people try to sell you on. It's like, you got to sacrifice everything. I don't feel like I did that. I did sacrifice some stuff, maybe some social time with some friends and some things like that. But I spent a lot of time with my family. I don't feel like I shortchanged them. I think a lot of people, like, yeah, they routinely talk about this, like, great sacrifice they have to make. And I've never felt that way. A person I'm a huge fan of is Art Williams. He's a speaker. He's the guy with the Just Do It speech.
Yeah.
He said that when he was coming up in business, that he was learning that you had to separate out friends from business. And that you had to do things this way, and this is the way to the top. And he said to himself, if that's the way to the top, you end up divorced and you end up with no friends, then I'm not doing it that way. He's like, I'd rather be in the middle, you know, but he was still able to make his way to the top. He is a billionaire. So,
oh shit, I did not.
Yeah, he sold his company for some ridiculous amount of money, lifetime insurance type thing or something like that. But, you don't have to make these crazy sacrifices. To win a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Black Belt World Championship, there's going to be sacrifices, of course, here and there. But it might not mean that you have to sacrifice relationships. It might not mean that you don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. Like, it might mean that for one person. But meanwhile, for another person, maybe they're able to still keep a lot of other things incorporated into their life.
It's not the blueprint, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out that right now. You know, I think what you just said, though, Mark, about... Yeah, I mean, you've said this in the past, like, you don't want to be remembered as the best scroller on Instagram. So, like, if you want to be remembered for some cool shit, like, yeah, you will have to get off social media. You're going to have to actually get out and do some cool stuff if you want to be remembered for something cool. Relaying that to my about to be 14-year-old daughter, it's like, it's hard to find the right language because, you know, you don't want to be like drill sergeant or like hire Ray Cash to come yell at her or something like that. Because, you know, it's going to push her the wrong way, but then you can't be so soft to where it's like, I'm going to let her turn into jello, you know, like just melt away into nothing. It's like, I have to figure out exactly how to, you know, present being, you know, kind of a savage in a nice way.
Yeah. And just, I think a lot of encouragement, and you're right, it can be difficult. I was thinking today with my daughter, you know, getting her to school on time every day. My wife gets like worried that she's not going to make it on time, but I'm like, this is her time, not my time. She's late to school. It's on her. This is her life. This is her career. You know, this is her
resume.
When you're a student, it's like the main thing you have to worry about and focus on. She knows when she has to be at school. So if she spends extra time in her room and I don't get her to school on time, that's not on me. That's on her. I'm sitting there. I'm waiting for her, you know? My dad mentioned to me, he's like, oh, I dropped her off the other day, but I think we were a little bit late. I was like, you were there on time, right? And he's like, yep. I was like, it's her. It's on her. That's her life. Same thing with my son. When he started messing up in school, I'm like, that's on him. And we've had conversations like, hey, can you do better? Yeah, I could do better. I would like for you to do better. If you choose not to do better, what am I going to do? I hit you with a ruler? Like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to yell at you to show you how much I care, pound my fist on the table? Am I supposed to cry or give you some epic speech? All I can do is just try to reinforce the fact that these are things of discipline, and it can help you to be disciplined now to do these things this way. And you could be further disciplined throughout the rest of your life. However, I also know that's not really true because you're just a fucking kid, 14 years old. Who really cares if you're a little bit late to school? Who really cares if you miss a homework assignment? It doesn't matter too much. But at some point, you will get yourself into a position where you're like, I think I could do better. But that's usually just because you found something you're interested in. So I usually tell parents, I had the privilege of meeting Bedros Koulian's son at this event. He's like 15, and I got a chance to talk to him for a little while, and he was telling me that he plays the guitar and that he does some boxing with his dad and he lifts some weights and stuff. And so I told Bedros later on, I was like, I had a really cool conversation with your son. I was like, I talked to him for like 20 minutes. It's like, it's pretty rare. You don't usually get in a conversation with a teenager. It's kind of hard sometimes. And I said, you're doing a good job. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. I was like, no, dude, you're doing a good job. Like, I want you to be in recognition of that. He was like, well, thank you, you know, very much. And I said, don't worry about him. And he's like, what? I was like, he's good. I was like, you and your wife, whatever you're doing with him, like, you're doing a good job. Like, I can tell that even just from the 20-minute conversation that I just had with him. And he's like, you know what? He's like, that puts me at ease, brother. He's like, thank you so much. So it's not easy to try to figure out how to manage these little specimens, but I don't think we need to like necessarily have our foot in their ass all the time. But if you set things up from when they're really young, then it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I know that part.
That's where I'm excited with, you know, Aurelius, because, you know, like I said, he's having all the good habits are kind of being instilled in him without him knowing. And, you know, his favorite things to eat are steak and rice. And that's how I'm trying to keep it.
You know, on the note of, like, I guess, adult discipline, I think it's really beneficial for kids to get into, well, not all kids have to play sports, but, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but my experience is playing soccer and playing different sports kind of drilled that aspect of things in, practice to get better. And as adult, when starting jiu-jitsu, sucking really bad at it, getting my ass beat a lot, for months, actually years.
you want to talk about that?
Yeah. No, real talk. Getting my ass beat for years, but continually getting better. That discipline there seeps into a lot of other things. Even though I may not be perfectly disciplined when it comes to social media and other things, I do understand that to get good at something or to become proficient, it takes a long time to work at it. It's not going to be something that I get the hang of within a few weeks, a few months, or even a few years. I've spent a long time working at it. And if you can, as an adult, if you feel that you have an issue with discipline or you find it hard to get on an exercise plan or whatever, or stay consistent, it would be good to find something you're interested in that's going to take you a long time to actually improve at. It doesn't need to be something purely physical. It could be something like the guitar or something else. But to drill in that idea that I must practice to get better, a lot of people don't necessarily have things that they have to actually practice and get better at outside of maybe their job.
Sports are huge, I think. And it's a nice thing to sometimes be like more inclusive and say you don't have to do this or that. But I think you kind of do. I think sports should at the very least be explored or entertained in some way, some type of sport. Maybe your kid tries a couple sports and maybe they don't like them. Jake never really took to any sports. He didn't really care for them. But like, I don't know if that's just because he was too young or like what the deal was. But like, He played baseball. He did lacrosse. He did basketball. I think that's probably, and he did a little bit of like football. And nothing really stuck, you know, for whatever reason, nothing really stuck. And I kind of wish at a young age, and I knew about jiu-jitsu, so I do wish that I would have kind of put him into something like that when he was young, just to kind of give it a try. Mm. He and I talked about it a bunch, and I should have just took him to a class, because he was like, I don't think I really care to do that. But I also don't think he really knew like what it was. But I think that individual sport would be really interesting to get kids into, and I know that people have their weird interpretations of what they think like wrestling is or jiu-jitsu is or some of these things, but I think it would be fantastic to take a 5 or 7 year old, especially a boy. I guess it doesn't really matter, boy, girl, but I think especially for the development of a young man and just knowing like my own journey, how confident would a 7 year old boy, you know, 5 year old boy be 2-3 years down the road? You know, another thing that came from Matt speaking at this conference is he said his son is 6 years old. He's like, my son holds the door for ladies all the time, for women in general. So he holds the door for his mom, he holds the door for his sister, and he'll hold the door randomly at like Starbucks for anyone. Mm-hmm. Like he like takes pride in it. He gets fired up, he like runs to the door and he opens the door, and everyone's like, yeah, oh my God, this is amazing. And he goes, so that 6-year-old kid, he goes, that's a different animal than another 6-year-old kid. And he goes, imagine that same, and he just said animal. And I just thought of it like, wow, that's just a cool, interesting way to like kind of put it. Mm-hmm. He goes, imagine that animal at 16. Imagine that animal at 26. He's like, is that kid going to be afraid to like go ask a girl on a date? He's like, probably not. He's like, because he learned like this respect for women at a young age. And he was always, you know, trying to be courteous and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, that's just like really, really fascinating. But having your kid involved in a sport can teach them so many different things. And I just think that the reason why I would say like I would encourage it very heavily is just because I don't know if parents have enough time. Mm. And I know this from my own personal experience. Parents don't have enough time just in seeing and observing. And maybe I was that way before. I'm not sure, because it's hard to like have a good view of yourself, but it's hard to really explain stuff to children. I think that what some folks are doing when they raise their children is they explain stuff along the way. Other people may not feel, I think in your mother's case, being a single mom, it was hard. Like, so she's just like, I'm just going to instill discipline because this kid, otherwise this kid's going to run wild. He's got a lot of energy. So I'm going to get him in the weights. I'm going to get him in the soccer. Like he needs to go and like run this shit off. Because I don't know how I'm going to deal with this rambunctious boy that wants to do all these things. And so in some cases, sometimes people don't feel like they got time to explain it. So because you did X, Y, or Z that I don't agree with, I'm going to hit you. And you better learn from that, or you're going to get hit again, or you're going to get sent to your room, or you're going to get whatever the different things are. There's other parents that might feel that they do have a little bit of time for it, and they might try to actually explain stuff to you. Both techniques can work really well, but again, I just think a lot of parents don't feel like they have the time, and so I think you have to find some sort of alternative for your kid to grow, and trying to get them involved in a sport, I think, is a great way to go.
For Americans, maybe the hitting thing doesn't work as well for them.
We got discipline in my household though too, but I just didn't get as much of it because I saw my brothers and I was like,
I don't want
my
that.
Dad would hit us with the belt and everything. And I was like, man, I'm not, that seems like some torture type shit.
Yeah.
I remember getting hit when I was young for like my oldest brother, of course, wrote something gross on the bathroom window, like because there was steam from the shower.
Yeah.
He wrote something about something butthole or something or asshole or something. He used some foul language or whatever. Oh yeah, totally. And like, you know, he could have been like, hey, I did it. You know, don't hit those two, you know, but he's an asshole, you know? So I didn't even know how to write. Like I just, and I remember getting my ass beat for that. And I was like, man, this is crazy. But like, you know, I think But I still learned from that experience. Yeah, like, yeah. I learned, like, don't use dirty words. Like, don't write dirty words where my parents can see them. If I'm going to have dirty words, like, keep them to yourself. That mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember getting hit with a belt. And, like, I remember, even my sister remembers. She's like, oh, I remember you got hit in the, like, across the back. It's like, and your little head just, like, snapped back and you just ran off crying. Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember that, too. That shit hurt.
Good times, man. Good times. But, you know, when I look back at that, like, again, my mom didn't do that out of, like, it was no anger or whatever. It was discipline because that was the way she was disciplined and that was the way her parents were disciplined. But I think about it, like, if I have kids, I don't want to have to spank them. But like, honestly, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. I hit Jake, once. I'm like, I'm never going to do that again. Yeah. It sucked.
I know. But, you know, I don't blame her. There's no level of blame or resentment or anything. When I look back at it, I laugh.
I think it's healthy in some ways.
I wouldn't actually say it's healthy. Because I guess, having so much information about disciplining kids nowadays, especially with how it's spread, like when my mom was a mother or when her parents in Africa were like parents, there was no books, there was no YouTube videos on like the best ways to discipline your children psychologically, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
You're on timeout.
That shit don't work. Timeout's like, bullshit. If my mom tried timeout on me, I'd laugh.
Yeah, you'd be like,
timeout. Not only that, but your mom's probably like, wait, what time? Like, he doesn't have his own time.
I do think like when you're certain ages, it can be appropriate for there to be like some sort of contact of some kind or some sort of the word scare because it sounds so awful to do to like a little kid, but three, 4 years old, maybe even like almost five, showing that like this is something that you can't do. You can't can't run into the street. You can't do something like real, like you pushed your sister down the stairs. Like that's something you can't. I just grab you and say you can't do that, you know, or something. It sounds so awful to like say it when you're not in the heat of the moment, but any parent that's been in those moments, I don't know what other way to get the message across.
Man, this makes me so curious because like I look at this and I'm just like, God dang, I need to study the hell out of like disciplining kids. Because when I think about how complex this is, I was spanked a lot, right? I don't look back at it negatively.
You still like to be spanked.
I don't look back at it with any type of resentment. Maybe because I like being spanked, maybe that's a trauma response. That was a joke. I don't like being spanked, but I will say this. There are a lot of kids who may have been spanked just like me, but they don't come out becoming adults without trauma. Like they feel like, oh, I had a traumatic experience. I don't look at it that way, but some kids really do. And it makes you wonder, is that okay? Like you don't know who's going to come out of this unscathed. You know, you don't know who's going to come out of this and feel that because they were spanked. Now they feel they need to be physically whatever on another individual, right? I never felt that way, but I damn know that some people definitely do. So you don't know who's going to come out of it well, you know?
My oldest brother was that way. I think that he felt that he grew up in like this more chaotic household, but the household was chaotic because of him. he was always up to some bullshit, you know? So like my dad, I don't think my dad particularly like loved, you know, hitting us. He just occasionally needed to because like he didn't know what else to do. And like it's almost like working in a business where like, you know, one person's coming down on another and it's like, I'm not getting heat from this person, so I'm going to yell at that person. So my mom would give my dad an earful when he'd get home from work. And my dad would be like, man, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I've been at work all day.
Yeah.
You know, and the easiest thing is just like after dinner, like, all right, you're getting the belt. Like that's. And my brother was always up to some weird shit, though. Like he drank really young. He smoked weed really young. He was just always pushing the envelope because he was the oldest, probably.
Yeah.
And just he'd always get caught. Always the stupidest stuff. My dad knows everybody in town. My dad's like the nicest person in the world. So my dad would go to like. He would go to like the deli in the morning or something, get the newspaper and coffee. And the guy would, somebody would say, oh, how'd your son enjoy the concert last night? And my dad would go, what? He goes, oh, Mike, he went to the concert with my son and my dad's like, oh, okay. And then my brother, you know, snuck out of the house or whatever. But, yeah. but for some reason, my brother like wouldn't, he like wouldn't ask. I think because we were, my dad, you know, was pretty heavily involved in the church and my mom was very Christian. So any concert you went to at that time, it was that my mom always thought everything was satanic.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's the devil.
Satanic. Yeah. Yeah.
My mom wouldn't let me fucking read Harry Potter because of witchcraft.
Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah. That makes sense, though.
I know, but still.
A family member of mine still fully believes that Metallica is satanic. She's like, I know that they worship the devil.
Oh my God.
I'm like, okay, hypothetically, even if they did worship the devil, I still like their music, and their music doesn't say anything about the devil necessarily.
Go. Oh my God.
She's like, Sandman. No, they worship the devil. I'm like, okay.
That is funny, because it's just loud, right? So people are like, oh, that's devil worshiping music. Yeah.
Was Metallica, y'all are gonna fucking flame me, which one was the one that painted their faces black and white? That's Metallica, right? With the crazy hair.
That's Kiss.
That's
yep.
Kiss.
Yeah. Yep.
My bad. I'm about to get flamed.
No, I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
You'll
to me.
Be okay.
Yeah.
But they didn't worship the devil either. I don't think any of those guys worship the devil.
Well, they go like that.
You know, everyone make weird faces and use a lot of paint.
I'm just imagining.
But like guys that like wear makeup. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's black. That, yeah, they wear makeup.
Not that intimidating.
I'm just imagining your dad like coming home from work, like a long day, and then your mom, you know, in his ear telling all the shit that you know the kids were doing. He's just like, sorry, kids, like this is from upper management. I have to do this because
it's my job.
I want her out of my ear, so I have to be in. You know, have to get all up in that ass so that way I can get her to calm down. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Exactly.
That's a
Pat Project family. How's it going? I want to tell you guys about the legendary Tasty Pastry. And we've talked about Ben and Jerry's and snacks and stuff on the podcast, but those can go against your goals. They can be too calorically dense and they can really make you crave more bad foods. But the crazy thing about the legendary Tasty Pastry is that it's 20 grams of protein and 5 grams of net carbs and 180 calories. And they taste amazing. You guys need to check them out. They have tons of flavors. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yeah. And the other thing, they passed the kid test. Kids love these things as well. Head over to eatlegendary.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off all the tasty pastries, all the nut butters, all the almonds, everything. Again, eatlegendary.com. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. Let's get back to the podcast.
Wait, Andrew, I have a question for you. So, like, I mean, you're a fresh new papa. You gonna lay that hand on Aurelius, like, or you got better tactics?
I honestly, I can't imagine doing anything like that to him.
Yeah.
Like this, like you should see me, like, you know, I'm like, oh, like my back's a little tender, but like yesterday he like was falling toward, like he was, because he walks and he'll kind of like a drunk little man, he'll just like get a little tipsy and start going one way. And like I'll cover an entire room from sitting on the floor to like diving to make sure he doesn't touch like his head like very softly against like something like a hard surface.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't see this kid crying because it kills me. But I was thinking about this the other day, like damn, what if like my biggest fear for him and my daughter is they're such good kids that they're going to like almost like a people pleaser, right? Like where it's like, oh, they might have a friend of a friend that's like a shithead and they might get caught up in something, you know, and like he might get in huge trouble, like guilty by association or whatever. Mm. He might have done some dumb shit because he's like, oh, well, they were doing it. So it's like, you know, so that sort of thing. So like I was thinking about these things and I'm like, man, I don't know. Like I just know that like right after I did some dumb shit and like I'm freaked out about everything, like I can't speak correctly. Like I can't tell you why I did what I did and I can't tell you what I think is the proper punishment or whatever, even though my parents never said that. Yeah. But so in my head, I'm just like, okay, don't know if this would work, but like, let's say he gets in trouble with something driving home. Like, you know, he knows he's in trouble. He's probably going to be quiet. He's like, dude, what's like the number one thing you want to eat for dinner tonight? Like, what, you know, have him be confused and stuff. Like, dude, you can have dessert. You can do whatever you want. Like we're going to have a conversation later. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but right now I need you to calm down so that we can get your thoughts together. I don't know if that's going to work because it's almost like rewarding him in that moment. But what I just want is just for him to be completely honest, for him to know that he's like, he's in trouble, but he doesn't have to be afraid of anything. Cause like, I know for us, it was like, oh shit. Like dad found out, like I'm fucked. I'm going to have to lie and do whatever I can to try to suppress the ass whipping that's coming.
Yeah.
So I don't want that. But again, I don't know if that's the right approach. I just know that, like, just wait till we get home. Because
with fear comes lying, right?
Yeah. And so it's that's what I want to try to avoid. And I'm sure veteran parents are going to be like, look at this rookie. Like, they're going to be walking all over him. But I don't know, man. It's hard because, like, with my daughter, like, she's such a good kid. Like, we've never had to really do anything. Like, mm-hmm. there was only one time when she was a kid where, like, you know, we were explaining, Mark, like, she didn't run into the street, but she, like, we were at a, like, at a park with a bunch of other kids, and she's like, oh, I'm going to go down this slide. And so, like, okay, yeah, we're going to go to the front and wait for you. And then she just, like, ran off somewhere else without telling us. And we're like, she should have come down the slide by now.
Yeah.
And then, so that was, like, you know, her mom, like, you know, like, you can never do that. And, like, you know, she shook her. She scared her, you know. When I say shook, I mean, like, she got shook. She's just like, what? I was just doing what I always do. It's like, no, you left. But outside of that, like, she's so good at, like, just being a good kid. It's like, yeah, we've never had to really discipline her, which is amazing. So just keep doing what we're doing, I guess. But for him, yeah, that's kind of, like, the weird scenario that was playing in my head. Because I just don't... In the moment right now, as of right now, I don't think just, like, spanking is going to be the answer for it. We'll see what happens if he, you know, is a little bit younger and he does something where it's like, whoa, dude, like, you can't drown the dog or whatever. You know, it's just something weird happens. I can't imagine not, like, physically striking him right now.
I think giving it time is always the answer.
Yeah.
I think it helps a lot. Sometimes what they did or said is actually really funny. My nephew called somebody in their school Lord Farquaad from
Shrek.
From Shrek. Okay. And he got in a lot of trouble for it. And
was the teacher short or some shit?
Like it was another student.
Oh,
you know.
Aw.
Because of, like, the haircut the person got or whatever.
That's hilarious.
So that's what I said. I said, it's really funny. So I was like, let's get the facts. Like, does the kid actually look a little bit like Lord Farquaad? Because if they do.
That's good.
Then that's good. Like, he nailed it. But if they don't, then, like, he kind of fucked it up a little bit. But I think just given whatever the situation is, like that's just funny, right? Like, that's not really that harmful. Okay, yes, you did make fun of another kid and you did hurt their feelings. So there should be something that gets addressed there with saying, like, hey, you know what? Come home and share that with me.
Yeah.
And we'll laugh about it together. But don't say that to the actual person.
That makes sense, yeah.
But I think, yeah, trying to give stuff time. A kid, you know, writes on the wall, you know, or puts paint on the wall or something weird, you know, and does something crazy. In the moment, someone might be really mad, or a kid damages something that you use often, that you actually really, you know, something that you like or whatever, because kids they'll damage all kinds of shit. Then you just have to kind of think about, you got to give it some time, because there's no reason for you to be all wound up. Like, if you're addressing something mad, then how are you going to actually teach them what's going on? So I don't think being mad I don't think it's effective. Mm-hmm. I think all you're doing is showing them that, like, being mad can be effective, which I don't think it's great. My son never responded well. Like, he just didn't care. Like, the madder I got at something, like, the less he cared. Because sometimes I was like, well, maybe I need to get a little bit mad every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I would try to be mad, which I'm not good at, I don't think. But I would try to be mad, and then he cared even less. So I was like, all right, that didn't seem effective, so maybe I should just explain shit to him. And so I'd usually give stuff a little bit of time when they're done crying or done getting over whatever the hell it is that went on. Mm-hmm. Then you have a conversation with them.
Yeah, my nephew got in trouble for singing Sir Mix-a-Lot. I Like Big Butts song. And I'm like, really, you got in trouble for that? It's like, well, yeah. I'm like, did he get the lyrics right? Like, if he did, then, dude, high five. Like, I got no problem with that. Of course, nobody else thought that was funny.
Song.
Yeah,
it is a good song. Like,
yeah.
Great lessons within it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was going to say, culturally, you know, when you look at African cultures, and when you look at, like, Mexican cultures, Asian cultures, you know, what you see is there's usually, when children to adults, there is supposed to be huge reverence for those who are older than you. you know, huge reverence. You don't talk back to people older than you. You don't call people older than you their first name. They're all your auntie and uncles. You would not dare call them by their first name, right? And with that, there is, I think, when a lot of individuals from our that are OGs of those cultures, when they look at children, they're like, oh, why is this child speaking to me in this way? They have no right. You know what I mean? So, bam, pull out the belt. Like, discipline them. Like, what? You think you can question me? You dare question me? Here's the belt. But that's like the cultural thing. That's why, like, when I saw some of my white friends talk to their parents in certain ways, I was just like, you called her Nancy? You called your mother Nancy?
Like, what?
You said Nancy. What? No. I'd get my ass beat if I dare call my mom by her first name. But this is the thing. Because of that, when children, like, I know a lot of African kids that, like, they just didn't talk back to their parents. They didn't question anything because there wasn't, like, that conversation wasn't open because that's how their parents were taught. That's how their parents were taught. But I do think, like, Andrew, what you were saying, I don't think, like, when I have a kid, I don't think it's going to be necessary to spank him or her because you would assume that it's good to have a healthy dialogue with children. Not all the time do parents have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a dialogue and explaining things, it's like, just whip the ass real quick. Like, they'll get the point, right? But if you can have a dialogue with them and teach them in that way, then they'll probably be able to become better adults who are able to have good dialogues. Because again, like, just because, like, I was spanked and ended up okay, and y'all, I mean, both you guys were spanked and ended up okay. Like, some kids aren't, some kids don't. And I think it does take more time to figure out approaches that don't require the belt. But I know some kids who weren't spanked, and I'm just like, wow, you're a great person. You weren't spanked at all? I mean, shit, my girl was never hit as a kid or a teen. Never. She's great. And I'm like surprised. I'm like, you're not weirdly fucked up in any weird way. It's like,
and she might be thinking the same thing too. Like, wait, you got hit and you're not, you know, all fucked up. Like,
no, right? It's tough. We need a good book. We need a good book on this.
Yeah.
Or lots of good advice. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if, like, me and my brothers or my brother and sister, like, if maybe we didn't get hit, we'd be better at expressing ourselves. Cause, like,
that's an aspect, bro.
Cause So I say that because, won't put out any personal information, but, like, we all are going through, like, things mentally. And in this book that I'm reading by John Sarno, Healing Back Pain, I'm learning about TMS, tension myositis syndrome. Mm-hmm. One of the examples he gave was, and this is really fucked up. This is what I would never do. But when a 1-year-old would get fussy and start, like, kind of raging, the mom would get cold water and splash his face, and then he would stop. So he learned right away when he's, like, kind of out of line, like, oh, I get something bad happens when I express something. That happens. So naturally he represses everything, end up having, like, chronic back pain forever. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that I might be a different person if I didn't get spanked, but I also might be a different person if I didn't get spanked, you know, who knows where the fuck I would be.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. Who knows?
I think having some connection to, like, religion or culture can be really effective for people because it gives you, like, a little bit of a blueprint of, like, how you're supposed to conduct this stuff. They say, you know, they say, like, it takes a village to, like, raise a child. And I'm a big believer in that. Like, you don't literally need everyone around all the time, but there's got to be a lot of support. And I think from a parent's perspective, whether someone hits a child or doesn't hit a child, I don't think is the making or breaking of a good parent or bad parent. But I think that there does have to be some sort of way that it's communicated that you're going to have some sort of discipline instilled in the child, because otherwise all hell can break loose. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be militant, that it has to be run in a militant fashion. I think that you can present children with a lot of options, and the things that kids think. I mean, I mentioned this several times before. When I was a kid, I told my dad that I wanted to live in a castle. There was a place in Poughkeepsie that we would drive by all the time, and it was a it was like a club. It was a like a fitness club. Yeah. It had tennis mm-hmm. and it had other shit in there. I don't even know if I've ever walked foot inside that place, but it like went out of business and it was just always sitting there and it had like a castle like shape to the outside of it. And so I was always fascinated with it. And like at seven or something, I was like, I'm going to live in a castle someday. And then rather than my dad like squashing my dreams or telling me that's dumb or like, hey, you can't do that kind of thing. Or like, well, you know, normal people, they just live in like a regular house or home, like that kind of deal. He was just like, are you going to have a moat? And I was like, what's a moat? He's like, a moat is like mm-hmm. the thing that you put like, you know, that's the water that runs around the castle so that people can't just come in willingly. And he goes, and then you have a drawbridge. I was like, oh, yeah, moat. I was like, I'm going to have alligators in there. He goes, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, of course. You know, so my parents always encouraged like dreaming, like rather than, I know some parents, they'll get frustrated. Their kid will dance around, or the kid will do this and do that. And they're like, hey, you know, we're in the grocery store, like behave yourself. But imagine telling that kid like, hey, those are some sick moves. Like, what if you encourage like dance? What if you're like, you like to dance all the time? Maybe we should go to dance class. Maybe like, okay, maybe the grocery store is not the most appropriate place because maybe you're dancing, you know, mm-hmm. irrationally in front of this grandma that's behind you or whatever. But maybe you can say when you get in the car, say, hey, like, I don't really love it when you do that way because, you know, it's distracting and it's whatever the hell your stupid reason is that they can't do that for. And encourage them to maybe, you know, hey, maybe you want to go in a dancing class or maybe you want to try an acting class or maybe you want to try. So just encouragement, I think, is the biggest thing. And then presenting options. It's the same thing with the food. You can keep eating the same shitty food over and over again. We can keep serving that to you. Or I can start to give you options. Like, yes, I understand the French fries are good, but what if I, again, it's going to take longer for me to dice up some potatoes, throw them in the oven, throw some olive oil on them, throw some salt on them. They're going to taste fucking amazing, but it will be a different option that doesn't have the same amount of calories to mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Talking to Sean Baker, and his son's awesome. Won't go into details because it's his son. That's personal stuff. But I was explaining to him, like, you know, my kiddo, like, he just loves eating steak and rice. You know, anytime we kind of mess with that formula, he gets a little upset, but then he'll eat, you know, whatever. And, you know, when I say like mess with that formula, like whether it be like, oh, let's try like potatoes this time, or let's try this, let's try that. It's a little bit of a, you know, I guess I'll say learning curve, because he's still literally learning how to eat. But what he explained to me was huge. And this is why I'm such a huge, like I'm very strict on this when it comes to outside sources or, you know, outside foods coming into his diet. But he was like, you're putting him in the top 1% of the entire population by how you're feeding him. He's like, if you look around, he's like, all these other kids, you know, eating candies, eating certain different ways. He's like, that's putting them out of that 1% and just kind of making them a normal person. He's like, by keeping him on this keeping him on this like clean diet, he's like, you are setting up his future so well right now. Mm-hmm. And we had to run to Walmart to grab some like extra cables and stuff. And literally on the way out, there was a mom saying like, okay, yeah, we're going to go get Icy and something else. And I'm just like, dude, that kid couldn't have been no more than 3 years old. You know, I'm just like, holy shit. Like,
your kid's just going to be missing out on potentially obesity, diabetes, cavities. It's all stuff that like he just doesn't need. And like, he doesn't even know what the hell's going on. So why not feed him the best stuff you possibly
can? That's what I'm saying. You know, and then, you know, and Seema, you had mentioned like, oh, is it easier, you know, to instill discipline on the food side? It absolutely is, because oh, yeah. he doesn't know any better. And yeah, everyone's like, oh, he's going to like, let him experience this and da, da, da. And it's like, well, I don't want him to experience, you know, freaking obesity. Like, you know, it's, yeah.
It'll be cool when he's seven and he can talk about it. He's like, that chocolate chip cookie was awesome. Mm-hmm. It'll be cool when he can talk.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, who cares?
Yeah. I always joke around because they're just like, oh, when are you going to let him have a piece of cake? And I was like, on his 21st birthday, yeah. I will give him the option of that or like $1 million and I'll let him choose. You know, I was like, I set up some crazy, you know, hurdles for it. But I'm just like, dude, I just, there's no point in giving him bullshit right now. There is a huge benefit to giving him good food right now, though.
Dude, it's like, you know, you're most people are doing one thing and they think it's right, the way that they feed their kids, et cetera. And I'm not passing judgment on those individuals, but you're setting up your kids to be different than the majority of the population. A lot of children who end up being overweight and obese, and it's not even those children's fault. It's just the lack of education that their parents aren't able to get. And it's unfortunate because it's like there's certain messages as far as food that are being sent to parents that then, like, parents that want their, or that are raising their children vegan. It's like, God damn, like, I mean, the want of well-being is there. This isn't coming from a place of I want my child to be unhealthy. This is coming from a place of I want my child to be super healthy. But all of the things that their children are going to miss out on development, the development of their face, everything, on the amount of protein that they're going to be able to absorb from those chickpeas. Like, it's not coming from a place of malice or trying to harm their child. But it
kind of is, though.
It's hurting. Gold, but it's, yeah. it is, but it's not coming from that spot. So it's just, you know, you keep doing your thing. That Aurelius, man, that boy is going to be fucking,
yeah,
he's going to be up there.
I'm so excited to watch him grow. But I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the video I sent from what I've learned.
Yeah, a great video.
When he was talking about, gram for gram, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich and whatever couple ounces of steak might have the same.
Game Changers.
No, he references that on this as well. But yeah, on Game Changers as well. But he breaks down like the amino acids, how you're you might be getting gram for gram amount of protein, but the amino acids and the profile is just like so empty. It's just wild. I didn't know that shit. Like I knew obviously full spectrum, you know, nutrition, all that good stuff. But the way he broke it down was so good.
Yeah, they got rid of talking about crude protein. I don't know why, but years ago, that was a thing. Like when whey protein first came out, they were like, oh, whey protein, boom, it's at the top. It had like a rating of like 114% or whatever. I forget how they come to these ratings or whatever, but I think it goes whey protein. I think beneath that is eggs, and I think underneath that's beef. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's in a steak shake, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Drum roll, please.
And by the way, guys, we're talking about like the amount of amino acids in protein. So like, for example, an individual who's vegan has to eat like, first off, way more grams of protein and a variety of different food. Yeah. Not just more calories. They'll have to intake more protein from those food sources because the amino acid complex of those vegan proteins not as bioavailable as eggs, meat, whey.
And the same thing is true of any other nutrient that's in it. So if there's some sort of advantageous reason to eat kale, whatever the nutrients that are in there, your body will not absorb it as well as it would absorb the same type of vitamins or minerals from a animal source.
We'll link the video literally in the description because it's an amazing video I've learned. He also made a video recently about fasting that was pretty damn good. Don't know if you guys saw that either. It was a recent one, but it's a good one. It's a really good one. And more so on prolonged fasting rather than intermittent fasting.
Does he make a video on parenting?
For reals.
What I've learned, make a video to teach us how to be parents.
That'd be great. I did have another parenting question for you, Mark. Did you find any success in like taking stuff away? I see it quite a bit where it's like, he messed up, so taking away his Nintendo Switch or whatever. And I don't know if it works.
Normally, you're trying to take away something that they probably shouldn't have in the first place. So that makes it really difficult. Uh-huh. Like, you're going to take away their phone, but like they're seven. Like, should they have a phone anyway? So that makes it really hard. Makes it really difficult if you are introducing something really early in their life. Their friends have it, so they feel that they're missing out on it. It's not an easy thing to navigate. You want to give your kids like what they want. Like you think that that's important. Like, I have to get my kid this thing, but you'd probably be better off buying your kid a soccer ball than you would an iPhone, in sometimes taking stuff away, I don't know about taking it away necessarily as having like rules to use it. Maybe might be even better, but having rules makes your job as a parent harder. Do you have time for that? Or are you going to let that slip away? And are you teaching your kids that you're kind of lazy when it comes to discipline because you only half-heartedly tell them, hey, you're not supposed to use that right now. So once you start to make rules, then there's got to be an enforcer of those rules. And how on the hook do you want to be for that? Because I think it sends a message to the kid that, like, this was only a thing as long as my dad reinforces it all the time. But as soon as he doesn't reinforce it all the time, I'm going to get away with doing what I want to do. And, like, I think that's kind of shitty. So I have always tried to not make a lot of rules because I don't want to have to, like, enforce the rules all the time. I'd rather present information to them and say, I would prefer if you chose to do that after you did your homework, and try to reinforce that over and over again as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And some of that you do have to kind of police, especially if they're younger. But yeah, taking stuff away, giving it back. It's like, I don't even know if parents really do that. Like, they don't really follow through with it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have that for a week. And then it's like 3 days goes by and the kid has it again. Mm-hmm. I think that you also might be making the kid more and more obsessed with the item that they have. Mm-hmm. Leading by example is always the number one thing. Mm-hmm. You could say, do you see me with any digital device when we're eating dinner? Do you ever see me with a digital device anytime that we're eating together as a family? They have to be able to say no in order for you to be able to kind of hold tight on that. Mm-hmm. Do you see me messing around on my phone, you know, before I get a lot of my work done each day, or like whatever the things that you can kind of point out? Hey, do you see me and your mother? Like, we try to make sure that we get our work done. And then if we want entertainment, you'll notice that we might watch a movie at night. The reason why I watch a movie at night after dinner is because all of our work is done for the day. Did you finish your homework? Are you done with these things? This is the way that I think that we should live our life in this house as this family. You know, and I just think trying to reinforce that over and over again, rather than like a lot of rules, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I dig that. The leading by example, of course, that's, yeah, you got to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. You can't tell them to do something, you know, do the opposite. But like, we're right, at least I am at that point where it's like, I'm going to have to tell my daughter, like, hey, you're going to have to pick something or I'm going to have to pick it for you. Like, and that's going to not be fun for either of us, because I might pick something that I think is awesome. You might hate it. And if I think it's awesome and you end up hating it, then I'm going to feel bad.
Talking about like a physical activity.
Yeah, just something. Cause I'm like, you can't get out of school and then like just hang out in your room all day on your phone. Like, that's not okay. So like, her mm-hmm. mom makes her, well, not makes her, but she like encourages her to do like home workouts and stuff. And she does them, but she just doesn't do them enough. And it's like, she'll do them and then it's like back to whatever device she wants to, whether it be watching TV or again, like on TikTok or something.
This might be effective for you. I forget the name of the book, but there's a guy that talks about boxing ideas, boxing up and packaging an idea. So you could say something the effect of like, we're going to go on a walk. We can either go on a hike or we can go and walk over this way. And maybe we'll like, maybe when we're done walking, maybe we'll shop a little bit. You know, give him different options on where you're going to walk. But the mm-hmm. premise is like everything's walking. Mm-hmm. Maybe she doesn't really love walking. Like, kids kind of hate walking, especially when they don't know where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A kid will always ask like, well, where are we walking to? And you're like, I just want to go on a walk. That's like old people shit, you know, especially to a kid. They're like, what the fuck? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But if you package it up like that and say, we're going to walk over here. And then when we're done, like, I know you wanted a new pair of shoes, or I know you were looking for sandals because the summer's coming up. Maybe we could pick something out because I know that X store is over there and I know that you like that place kind of thing. You kind of make it like a little bit of a, but to kind of show your kid that like cool shit's going to happen when you do stuff that's boring and you do stuff that is like a waste of time, I think is really important. My dad does the most amazing job of that because my dad will like, he'll take my kids to do all kinds of stuff. And next thing you know, they're like making a fire or they're doing something. Like, he's always doing something that's like, I don't know, totally dangerous. but I think those kinds of things, like, you show a kid like, hey, remember I said we're just going to go like on a walk, but then something cool happens on the walk. So it's important for them to know, like, when you hang out with family, like the part of the cool part about it and part of the shitty part about it is it takes a long time. You might feel bored to tears, but something cool is going to happen when we go on that walk. We're going to see those ducks and like this other thing's going to happen that you found cool. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to find something good from doing this stupid bullshit with your dad that you really don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, we'll do that walking to Dutch Bros, and it was pretty cool because she was talking, we were talking to a relative and we were explaining like, yeah, like we'll go walk to Dutch Bros with like, you know, the whole family. And they're like, wait, Dutch, like that's kind of far, isn't it? And we're just like, oh yeah, it's like basically like 2 miles. Like, wait, you guys walk that like every week? I was like, yeah, like, you know, Jasmine does it pretty easily. So that made her feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And so like stuff like that. Yeah. And like, you're right. Boxing ideas. I like that. That's a cool thing. I'm going to have to try to figure out what book that came from. Cause if you type in boxing ideas, this comes up like literally like boxing tips.
The guy's last name is really weird to spell. It's, I'll look it up at the end of the show and try to figure it out.
Yeah. I dig it. Well, this was a cool episode that went a totally different direction.
Yeah, it did.
I think a better direction, maybe.
It really did.
Well, Seaman never sent over the script.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But guys in the audience, men and women, if you have children or if you you think that there is some good resources, some good people to talk to about this, comment down below those names and potentially those books because this is very important. Very, very important.
What are you guys thinking of Seaman's pecs, too? They're looking pretty good today. The lighting's perfect.
Lighting is good on there. Did you put makeup on there, or is that just you woke up like that?
No. I usually put a little bit of eyeliner, just a shadow in between. So there you go. Bigger than there.
It looks like you maybe like powdered up the top of the pecs to make them look brighter. And if they look brighter, then they look bigger.
They're kind of throbbing a little.
Yeah.
Are they?
Wow.
Or that's my boner.
Mike Israetel had some really nice cleavage.
Mike Israetel's titties were like this. Fat. Yeah, he really was.
He looked like he was ready to like hit a button, like he's on fucking Jeopardy or something the whole time.
Yo. Like if he looks down, his chin is like in between his boob crack.
A lot of people were saying that was like their favorite episode.
A lot of people, yeah. He's so good.
Mike Israetel.
Don't blame them. Yeah, it's fucking Mike Israetel.
He's
one of those people that he just makes you laugh when you see him. That's why I kept making fun of him so much because he's like... He's just a fun guy like that, you know, and any text messages, any messages we've had back and forth, even though we've never met each other.
Yeah.
We're always just talking shit to each other.
One thing I found so interesting is like how useless he believed body work was. I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, but it feels so good. Maybe it just feels good. Maybe it's not, but I think it's actually very beneficial.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. When we talked about like myofascial stuff, he just, you know, but then he believes all the science that he believes on the lifting side of things.
Yeah.
But wasn't gravitating towards anything in the, the physical therapy world is a weird one. We found that out and everybody hates each other. Andrew, take us on out of here.
They really do though. All right. Thank you everybody for checking out today's episode. Like Nsema said, let us know down below in the comments, give me some parenting advice and also some books that you guys found helpful. When I was having my kiddo, reading Dude, You're Gonna Be a Dad was pretty cool because it was like kind of written in color crayon for me. So I really like that. Let us know. And subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already. And make sure you guys hit the like button on today's video. Follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
And Seema Yin Yang on Instagram and YouTube. And Seema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. And down below, join the Discord community in the description box, Mark.
I'm at Mark's Millie Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness is never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.